heal a broken heart. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to
and
come.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. And on this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this show. We share the Word and we pray that God will open up your hearts to receive the Word and also give you spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. We like to start the program with a scripture reading. This is one of my favorites. My son Drew brought this to my attention this week. It's Old Testament from the prophet Jeremiah, Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. This is a favorite verse of mine. It goes like this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Repeat that last part. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Again, that's Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Thanks again for joining us. We have all of our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we'd love to pray for you no matter what you're going through. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. We have a special guest. We'll be right back in just a moment.
There's always news impacting you in Central Virginia.
WCHV time 5:30. I'm John Peterson.
And there's always been WCHV to make sure you know about it.
9 inches of rain in New Canada.
News, weather, and traffic.
Heavy volume on westbound 64.
First, all morning. And all day.
Good morning, you're on the air with Joe Thomas in the morning. Who's this?
Seville, 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
For and about the second greatest city in the history of mankind, Charlottesville, Virginia.
When you're out of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us this morning. Back with us on the program, we have my friend Tony Simarusti. Tony, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Good to be back with you, Jeff.
I have to tell you the impact you had on me the last time you were on the show. I think it's been a couple of years. But we were talking about the life of Joseph, and we were in Genesis, Old Testament. And I kind of gave my paraphrased version of this verse. I said, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. And you just snapped your fingers and said, Genesis 50:20. And ever since that time, I had kind of the passage in my mind, but I didn't have the orientation of Genesis 50:20. So I want you to know that's now something I carry with me and have distributed on a regular basis. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, fantastic. Well, we called it the 50:20 rule. Genesis 50:20, the 50:20 rule. No matter what man intends for evil, God will use it for good.
Well, can you speak at all for our listeners in terms of, can you talk about in any way how that's applied in your life or how you've seen it in somebody's close to you? Does anything come to mind when we talk about Genesis 50:20, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good? How could you give me an example of that?
I could give you countless examples, but one that comes to mind was just a business deal where a guy, I believe, cheated me out of a little bit of money, and maybe just $5,000 or so, something. But I think he owed me 10, and he paid me 5, and he's a very wealthy man, and yet years later, and at the time I was just working as a youth pastor. It was about 23 years ago, and I told my wife, "Look, you got to come in and pray with me. This is just too little money for me to get bitter over, and I just need to pray blessings on this man." And we did, and then the man asked me to do something for him again a year later, and something else 6 months after that. And then he started bringing investors to me. And over the course of the next 7 years, we made, we think, somewhere in a neighborhood of 250 to 350 times that $5,000 directly related to that man and his efforts to help us grow our business.
Wow.
And it was quantifiable. That if I had gotten upset about it, I just prayed. I said, Lord, just help me to love this man and to forgive him and to realize that, you know, I had made him quite a bit of money and he could have paid me two or three or four times as much. It wasn't a lot of money, but he didn't. He chose me to pay me half of what, and it just God is trustworthy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always come back directly like that where you can quantify it, but I just see it time after time after time, the 50-20 rule, what man intends for evil, God will use for good, over and over and over again. And it's tied directly to Romans 8:28, that God doesn't cause all things to happen, but he allows things to happen, and even bad things, he promises to use. In Romans 8:28, it says that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things, even the bad things.
I love it. So you're a Christian businessman. Tell our listeners what it means to you to be a man of faith in this business world. How does that make you different than kind of everybody else who goes about their business? Do you have different standards? Do you have different practices? What does being a Christian businessman mean to you?
Okay, well, what it means to me is that I really started walking with Jesus 32 years ago when I was working on Wall Street, and I started walking with my good friend Peter Sorensen, and we challenged each other a lot about what does it look like, what does it mean to be a Christ follower in the workplace, at home, in marriages and families, and on the football field, coaching, whatever I'm doing. What does that mean? And I left my job for a few years and I took a much lower paying job just so I could be in a situation where I could learn from men that were seeking to follow Christ in their day-to-day workplace. And then the Lord led me right back into the trading business at the Chicago Board of Trade with Joe Ritchie and CRT, the options trading firm. But I went back this time as a missionary, as a guy who definitely felt called to be in the marketplace, in the workplace, and to be salt and light for people. And so for me, it just meant this is what God's calling me to. I don't know what everybody else is called to, but I believe that God was calling me to be first and foremost a missionary in the marketplace. Now, I needed to do my work. I need to work and serve the people I work with, and I need to be excellent at that so that I could have a platform. But I also knew that God was going to make time available for me to share with people, and he did. He just orchestrated meeting after meeting after meeting, day after day, week after week. I would meet people. Different things would happen. We'd pull together events. We started hosting outreaches at the Chicago Board of Trade. We did things. We created a prayer group, and Chip and Mark Frost and Dan Frost and myself and Chip Combs, and Jarrell Dent, who's gone now, went to be in heaven. And anyways, it was an amazing time. And I just felt from this time going forward that God has called me to, yes, to work in business, but to be available 24/7 for whatever his purposes would be. And I asked the Lord, I said, I want to be a missionary. And the Lord said, okay, I want you to be a missionary right here at the Chicago Board of Trade on Wall Street. And in Main Street in America. So for me, that's what it is. It's different things for different people. Mm-hmm. I just knew that my calling was different than others. And I was looking for a job when I started my business 20-something years ago. I went into the fund-to-funds business. I've been a trader. I've been a salesman. I worked on Wall Street, and I worked at the Board of Trade. I really wanted to be in a business or create an opportunity where I could work, but I wouldn't have to have all my focus all day long on business. And that's why I went into the fund-to-funds business and not the direct fund trading business, where I would hire managers and select managers and created a fund. And the Lord provided a great living for us for 20 years doing that. And then just a couple of years ago, we sold the assets off. And now I've spent even more time doing those things that I love doing, which is mentoring, discipling, teaching, and helping people come to know Jesus in the business, in the marketplace.
I like that phrase. I'm going to use it, a missionary in the marketplace.
Yeah, amen.
I'm reminded of a verse. One of our listeners will text it in and remind me exactly where it comes from, but it's let your light shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and honor your Father in heaven.
Yeah, amen.
I'm wondering if you are a missionary in the marketplace and you're a follower of Jesus.
Yes.
Do people come to you and say, what is, have you had that experience where somebody would come to you and say, there's something about you that's different. There's something about you that you have that I want. Did you experience any of that in the workplace or maybe outside of work?
Oh, that's a great question. Actually, I would say that more than not, in my coming to Christ, that's exactly how I came to faith myself. There were so many people along the way that had the aroma of Jesus about them. And I learned, many years ago, probably 25 years ago, I realized everybody out there is one of two things. They either are a missionary or they're in need of one. And that's it. That's it. You either are a missionary or you're in need of one. Mm-hmm. And there's just not a lot of in between.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's well put. What I have found, and again, I'm just a real estate broker in Charlottesville, Virginia, and what I have found is that in the workplace, oftentimes people they have this belief, and the world leads you this way, that if you're super successful in sales or you build the biggest company or you have the biggest bank account, the biggest house, that these are things that the world offers, that you get sucked into following this. It's almost like we're trained up by the world that this is what you're supposed to follow and go after. And those things in and of themselves are fine things, but they end up not providing the completion or the satisfaction or the joy. It's like man, and I use that as a phrase, men and women are in search of joy, and you think that this is the place that you're going to find it, and you chase that and find it can be just so empty until you turn your focus. And the Bible says very clearly that you will be able that, and Peter writes in his letter that God through Jesus will complete you and perfect you and strengthen and encourage you. It took me the hard way to figure that out, that what the world offers is not the satisfaction that you're looking for.
Boy, isn't that true? My daddy, even before he came to faith, after me later in life. But I remember he used to say, I think that the poor people have a huge advantage over the rich people. That's my observation. I said, why is that, Daddy? He said, well, son, the poor people still think that if they just had money, they'd be happy.
Mm.
And he said, the rich people, they just don't live under that, sadly, under that misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. They've had what they thought was going to bring happiness, and it hasn't. No. Mm-hmm. I think God made us for relationship with Him, and when you don't have that relationship, when that relationship is out of whack, when it's absent or when it's just not in the right way or right place, I think that people find themselves longing for something more, wanting, if you will. And that's what was for me. I mean, I'd had a lot of success. I'd been an all-state football player and wrestler in California, and then I was a wrestling captain and played football at Harvard and went through the business school at Harvard and had a couple degrees and, lots of success in different ways. And, I was so empty. Mm. Oh, my life was so painfully empty. And really coming to understand what it means to put Jesus in the center of your life, that changed everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
And it oftentimes, when we get... when we get these things that we're pursuing, when we get them out of pursuing, when we get them out ahead of pursuing God, it can become a form of idol worship. And the Bible is very clear that God is to be first, and that is the order of our love. And that if you, you know, Jesus, when asked, what is the greatest commandment?
Yeah.
You know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, the answer to that is certainly love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbors yourself. But I want to go back to what you said. It's a line from Rick Warren's book. Hmm. It's the first four words, 40 Days of Purpose, or the Purpose-Driven Life. And it goes like this. It's not about you. Hmm. And people struggle with that. But the realization is that the happiest people I know are the most other-centered people I know, and the most miserable people I know are the most self-absorbed, self-focused mm-hmm. people I know. Mm-hmm. And as you realize it's not about you, and it's about having relationships with others and blessing others and having a relationship with God and blessing God, and as you do that, then you start to realize how much God loves you and how much he cares for you and how much he has a plan for your life, and he's created good works in advance for you to do. And as you start focusing on others and God, you get great refreshment and you get great joy. And so it is about you in that sense. It is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that you, not just whosoever, but you who believe in him will not perish. And so when you think God took that spear in his side for me, God had his hands and feet pierced on a cross for me, then it is about me. Mm-hmm. It's he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me, and therefore it is about me in the essence of that's why he came. Now he's inviting me and you and everybody out there listening to join this crazy adventure with him of reaching the world with his son's message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, it's Christmas time. It's coming. Mm-hmm. This is the best time of the year to get out there and tell people the good news. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for Christmas.
Amen. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Tony Cimarusti. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Joe Thomas, and I know how busy the average morning for a person is, and if you give a half an hour to an hour to listen to the station, that's great, but there's so much stuff that you miss, so I always make sure that we put all the good stuff up online in podcast form. And then we launched this new smartphone app, and everyone loved it for the traffic and the weather and the dialer and the text messaging and, of course, the live stream, but there were no podcasts. Well, that's been fixed. You can now get the podcast when you download from the iTunes or Google Play Store the smartphone app from WCHV.
And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. We are fired up on the program today. We have my friend Tony Cimarusti in from out of town. Tony, thank you so much for kind of sharing your testimony with us and being bold for Christ. What I'm wondering is, if there's anyone listening to the program today, maybe they just wandered onto the station today, maybe it's just kind of background noise to them, but they're tuning in now, and they heard you talk about having a relationship with Jesus. Now, that can sound foreign and confusing until it actually happens and you find out how easy it is mm-hmm. and how wonderful it is. But could you talk somebody through, maybe they come from another denomination where that's sure. not really anything that is promoted or yeah. encouraged. Or maybe they're just far, far from God. Maybe they don't feel worthy of a relationship with the God of the universe. Mm. Could you just talk us through what it means to have a relationship with Jesus?
Sure. Well, the relationship I have with Jesus is sweet. It's a friendship. Mm-hmm. I have a friendship with Jesus. I didn't know you could have a friendship with Jesus. Well, that's an incredible friendship, and he's led me all over the world, and he's led me into some great friendships with other people, with other Christ followers around the world, around the country, in my city and state, in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Jesus has been amazing. And he's a man. He was God's son, and he came down, and he died on this earth, and Scripture tells us very clearly that he died so that his blood would cover our sins. That's really hard to get your arms around for a lot of people. If you read John 3, it explains it a little bit more. But I just know this, that as I started developing a friendship with Jesus, as I started talking to Jesus, as I started asking his Spirit to lead and guide my life, he changed everything. That friendship with Jesus has come to mean everything for me. Yes, he's my Savior. I believe Jesus is my Savior, that he died for the sins of the world and my sins in particular. He died to cover my sins. But he's my friend, and he talks to me. And it's not a verbal outward voice, but sometimes I know in my heart, I know as I'm talking and speaking with him, I can hear his voice as clearly as I could my own mother's when she was talking to me as a young boy. And it's amazing to have a friendship with Jesus. And it's open to anybody who'd be willing to do that, who would be willing to enter into a relationship, a friendship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Anyone, the Scripture says that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save the world. He came into the world to love the world. In fact, he told us the greatest thing we could do is love others. He's in my witnessing life and helping people. When I say witnessing to Jesus' life and death and helping other people become friends with Jesus, probably the most important thing I've done is love people. As I've loved people on a football field, a baseball field, guys that I've coached, they've come to my Bible study. They've come into a friendship with Jesus, and their whole family has changed as a result. You know, so often when the father comes to know Jesus, usually 60-80% of the time, the wife will come to know Jesus too. And the whole family, there's a better than 50% chance that when that happens, that the whole family's going to come to know Jesus. It's an incredible thing when a father of a family comes to know Jesus. He has such an effect and an impact. And in some cases, some of these fathers were real jerks, and they've become incredible men and incredible friends. I'm so grateful. I've seen it with my buddies out there, and shout outs to guys like Welcher and Yanis and Holder and Graves. I mean, these guys are now, they're leading other people to Jesus. They're telling other people about Jesus. And so they don't mind their name being called out on the radio. They want people to know they love Jesus and they're a friend of Jesus.
How would somebody who's listening on the program right now,
yes,
who doesn't know Jesus, how would they enter into a relationship if they were ready to start today, right now?
You
if
bet.
They wanted to take that step,
you
what
bet.
Do they do?
And even if they only had a tiny little bit of faith, I'd say, first of all, this is what you do. You say, Jesus, if you're real, will you make yourself real to me? I just that one sentence, make yourself real to me. So many times I've seen so many great things come out of that. Beyond that, I would start to read the book of John. I'd start in the first chapter of John and just read those first 12 verses where Jesus talks about, where it's Jesus is talked about as the light of the world, where Jesus came into the world, that he is the Word, he's the Word of God, that Jesus is our leader and director. And then I'd have them jump to John 3 and read the first 17 verses, starting with the fact, trying to explain born again and what born again is. It's a very difficult concept, I believe. In fact, Jesus likened being born again as to the wind, and what a mystery the wind is. No one knows where the wind starts. No one knows where the wind ends. It's a mystery. But we can see the effect of the wind on the trees and the ground outside and when you're sailing. And then I'd go anyways to John 3:16 and 17. And then John 8:32. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, John 8:31 and 32. And then read John 10, the first 10, 12 verses, and then finally John 14, 1 to 6, which it talks about Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by me. Mm-hmm. You know, you read those things. It's not a lot of verses. Probably, I probably said 50, 60 verses. Mm-hmm. You read that, you'll get an idea of who Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do with you. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. And what you and I know is that the Bible says the Word of God, it's not just words on a page. It's alive and active.
It is powerful and effective. Amen. Yes.
And
God's Word will change you.
It will get on inside you and do great things for you. Let me tell you a story real quick, Peter. And this is Everyday Faith Radio. And our guest today is Tony Cimarusti. So, Tony, I'm sorry. Let me tell you this story. Last week we had Shannon Kennedy, a mutual friend, on the program. He comes to the faith group on Thursdays. Shannon talked about the story of his coming to faith. He's a traveling salesman. This is Cliff Notes version. Traveling salesman. Today he's super successful business guy. In his young 20s, he's a traveling salesman. He gets led down the road in Dayton, Ohio, to a home. It's dark out. He knocks on the door. He comes in, and it ends up being a Christian home. Shannon was not a Christian at that time. He was searching. He had been a big athlete in college. This is life after college. Comes into this Christian home, and he notices something different about the people that he's meeting with. And he says to him, I don't know what it is about your home, and I don't know what it is about you guys, but there's something different here. Mm-hmm. And the husband and wife look at each other, and they said, well, we're followers of Jesus. Would you like to know Jesus? And they walked him through, this is how you get to know Jesus.
Sure.
Shannon ran out of the house. He didn't want anything to do with it.
Mm.
That sounded crazy to him. So he gets in his car. He starts driving back to his hotel room, pulls over on the side of the room, side of the road, started crying. He had an encounter with God right in his car about 5 miles from his hotel room. And he says, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And he ends up praying the prayer to receive Jesus on the side of the road. He ends up deciding he's going to go visit his sister and tell his sister what he has just done.
Yeah.
He goes to tell his sister. Sister and her husband comes in and says, you're not going to believe it. I've just prayed to receive Jesus. I'm now a follower of Jesus. So the sister and husband go upstairs. They pray to receive Jesus.
Yeah.
The husband goes on to become a pastor, and today is preaching sermons and spreading the word
yeah.
and the gospel. But it all starts, the beauty of his story
yeah.
is I love the faithful couple. Knock, oh. knock, knock on the door. Somebody's here. Hey, there's something different about you. Well,
yeah.
we're followers of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I want to share a story with you that comes to mind, the Lord brought to heart, is I had a guy who mentored me named Ted DeMoss, and I came to start walking with Jesus in the DeMoss house in New York City. And he told me about the first person he ever led to Christ. It was an incredible story. And he knocked on a door, and the guy said, what do you want? He said, I want to come in. And so he was an insurance salesman. And he said, I don't want insurance. Go away. He knocked on the door. He said, let me in. Let me in. He kept knocking on the door. Finally, the guy opened the door. He looked at him. He said, the guy was older than dirt. He said, no way he's buying any insurance. And the guy says, what do you want? And he said, I want to talk to you about Jesus. So he comes in, he sits down, he looks at the guy across from him, and he realizes the guy across from him is blind. And so he starts talking to him and tells him the whole story of Jesus. And now it was the first person he'd ever really shared the story of Jesus with. And he said, would you like to pray? And the man said, yeah, I would like to pray to receive Jesus as my friend. He said, but not here. He said, what do you mean not here? He said, yeah, I want to do it in front of my mother. He said, in front of his mother? His mother must be 100 and something. So he walks into the kitchen, and there in the corner of the kitchen, he says to his mother, who shriveled up in this chair, he says, Mom, this guy just told me about Jesus and how to become a follower of Christ, and I wanted to pray to become a follower of Christ. He said, I wanted to do it in front of you. That woman, with tears streaming down her face, 98 years old, said, Mister, I've been praying for this boy for 82 years.
Oh.
He said, thank you for coming here today. And that was the first person that my friend Ted, who led thousands to Christ, led to Christ.
Oh, Tony Simarusti. Hey, I want to pray for you. The show is up. I want to pray for you, your family, and all of our listeners. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Tony, thanks for being on the show.
What a blessing. Thank you for letting me be here with you and Joe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And my buddy Peter. God bless you, Jeff. Come restore me.
you.